You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome to the William Hill Boxing Podcast. We're based in Leeds, and Bunchy just said to me, Leeds is the centre of the universe at the minute, and it just feels a little bit like that with the world's boxing media descending for Lee Selby versus Josh Warrington at Elland Road. I only live a stone's throw away from the ground, so looking forward to going to it on the night as well. Buncey is with us. Buncey, you're looking forward to this one. It's got the feel of a good event. We're not talking Joshua proportions here, but a very good event, especially for the city of Leeds.
Absolutely. It wouldn't surprise me if in the next 12 or so hours we find out that one of Meghan Markle's great aunts came from Leeds or something and once made the tea for Billy Bremner and co. It's got that kind of feel to it. The entire universe, not just the boxing universe, seems to be centred around Leeds. We've got the return of the king himself, Radebe. We've got the Kaiser Chiefs, and we've got Josh Warrington just casually fighting in the ground that he's been on the tour as his man and boy in front of about 30,000. You know, fairy tale stuff, Lee, yeah. To be perfectly honest with you. That's before we get to the first bell, mind you. Yeah. Fairy tale stuff until the first bell.
I made the terrible mistake, Buncey, of trying to be clever on Twitter by writing this. I thought this was good, but it got a paltry 3 likes. So I put, proper excited for Saturday. Two people coming together with so much emotion, a gripped audience, all the attention on the ring. That's a bit I like best. A venue packed with tradition and folklore, amazing musicians and everyone singing. Bring it on, Selby Warrington. You know, but it didn't cut through. It didn't cut through. Sometimes you can try too hard, can't you?
No, you did better with your flip-flop tip.
I know, yeah. Thanks for retweeting
you did,
that.
You did very well with your flip-flop tip. And I've got to be honest with you, I've got flip-flops on as we speak. I'm looking at a pair of Olympic Rio flip-flops. I've got them on. I kid you not. As we speak, I've got them on. I've got 3 pairs of flip-flops. And I tell you what, your trick, I'm not going to tell people what it is. They're going to have to go to your Twitter account. I've got that lodged in my mind because I have been caught out when I've had a flip-flop disaster. So thanks for that. That got the business. The sensible one didn't get the business. Bit like boxing, really. Sometimes the deserving get missed out and the undeserving get all the praise.
Let's talk about last weekend very quickly, Buncey. We don't often look back, but Lomachenko. I mean, anyone who's a boxing fan he'll be on their radar. You know, he's a lot of people's favourite kind of neutral fighter, if you like. I mean, another unbelievable display against Linares, who, let's be fair, was teak tough and he was giving it everything he had. Just a brilliant fight, Buncey. Had a bit of everything in it, didn't it? What about this guy? I mean, people like yourself who've seen everyone through the years, pretty much lost for words in how to describe this guy.
Well, we are really, and we're getting in trouble. To go back to Twitter, sometimes, I mean, Mike Costello and myself on the 5 Live boxing podcast, we got in a bit of trouble really because we said, well, how do we compare him? Well, all that I was doing was quoting Bob Arum, who's been promoting for 52 years. Muhammad Ali, 1966, was his first fight. He's promoted every single main and major and top line fighter since then. You throw a name at me, he's promoted him. Floyd Mayweather, Leonard Duran, Hagler, he's promoted all of them. Now he said before the Linares fight, how do you compare him? How do you compare this kid with the greats, with the Leonards and with the Alis? He posed the question. And that doesn't, that's not to say that Lomachenko, after 12 fights, is better than the guys we've just mentioned. But what he's achieved means that it's really difficult to compare him with these guys. In 12 fights, he's had, I think it's 11 world title fights. And he's beaten some terrific fighters. No, some really good fighters. He's made really good fighters. Unbeaten world champions. Guillermo Rigondeaux, Nicholas Walters. He made them quit. That means they went back to their corner after 6 or 7 rounds and shook their heads in defeat. Well, I've got to be honest with you. This kid is doing stuff that no one's ever done. So it's really hard to compare him. Of course he's not Muhammad Ali, he's not Sugar Ray Leonard, he's not Sugar Ray Robinson. But at the same time, those guys after 12 fights, they weren't Vasyl Lomachenko, my friend. We are watching, potentially, one of the greatest fighters in history. And if he gets beat in his next fight and then loses 2 or 3 more and he's gone in 2 years, we'll still look back on a 3-year period that may never be equaled again.
Yeah, fascinating. If anyone by chance is listening to this who hasn't seen much of Lomachenko, then get yourself on YouTube right now and watch some of the highlight reels. Bunsy, we're going to have a look at this Josh Warrington, Lee Selby fight in a second. The undercard is absolutely stacked at in terms of numbers at Elland Road, but as far as the betting goes, Bunsy, we've got a lot of 1 to 100s here. The one fight that stands out, I suppose, is Darren Tetley versus Mason Cartwright. 8 to 11 Tetley. Cartwright is 11 to 10. This is for the vacant WBO European welterweight title. Cartwright is 13-0-1. Tetley 15-0. Does look a decent dust up this one, Bunsy.
Yeah, it's a really odd thing because generally when you have big fights, stadium fights, world titles at stake, you don't get fights like this. And I'm delighted it's on the bill because that will start at 7:30, so a decent enough crowd will be in there by then. Boxing, I think, starts at 5, or maybe even earlier.
Yeah,
4.
Yeah, maybe earlier.
Yeah, so it's an early start because there's a lot of people on the bill. And what we've got here is a bang out with a bit of pride. I've got a lot of pride too, guys, that have no idea what it's like to lose, and that always creates some fantastic diversions when the fights get hard because they generally don't know how to pace themselves for a hard fight. They don't know how to come back. They never had to come back. And it always makes it interesting. I like it when unbeaten fighters are suddenly thrust against each other. It always makes for something.
Who wins this one?
You know what? It's a genuine pick, isn't it?
Yeah, 16-1 the draw, by the way. So it's always worth having a look.
The draw looks good. I've got a feeling. How about this? Right now, this is a really odd pick. Either one of them, but late stoppage, last couple of rounds.
Yeah, you could pick that out.
Because one of them will discover that he likes the distance and the hard fights more than the other one.
Yeah.
And I genuinely can't pick them. Yeah. I've not seen enough of the two of them. I've not spoken to enough people who have been with them in the gym to form a solid and valid opinion. Because these two have been thrust together almost from nowhere.
The other fighters on the card, by the way, if you want to put that bet together, then all you got to do is tweet at William Hill with the hashtag Your Odds, either fighter to win in maybe, 10, 11, 12, and then they'll price it up for you. Nicol Adams on the bill as well. We've got Jack Catterall on the bill, O'Hara Davis on the bill. So there's plenty on there, but they're all, as I say, very short price favourites. Let's have a look at the top of the tree then, Bunsy, the one that everyone's turning up for. There'll be a massive Leeds United contingent there, of course, supporting Josh Warrington. As you said, Lucas Radebe walking him to the ring. We've got the Kaiser Chiefs playing. I imagine there'll be a smattering from Lee Selby's neck of the woods as well. Selby's 1-4. The draw 20-1. Josh Warrington 3-1. Selby by stoppage is 100-30. Selby by decision or technical decision is 4-6. Warrington by stoppage is 14-1. And Warrington to win by decision is priced up at 7-2. This is for the IBF World Featherweight title, of course. Are we in danger when it comes to fights like this, Bunsy, of being carried away by the kind of, the Josh Warrington's undoubted kind of, charisma in front of the cameras, in front of microphones, and his unbelievable support that he has from the Leeds public, a bit like a kind of a Leeds version of Ricky Hatton back in the day? Lee Selby just a step above in reality?
Well, listen, the first part of that question is, yes, we should be sucked in and carried away. That's what it's all about. That's what promoting is all about. The idea is you go and see a lion tamer, okay, because he's got to tame these fearsome lions. The fact that they haven't attacked anything more dangerous than a bit of bone for 12 years is irrelevant. The bottom line is you've been sucked in because there's these lion tamers in town at the circus. And that's what this fight's about. It's about promoting. And it's a brilliant piece of promotion because we've now got to the stage where people are saying, well, he's got the crowd behind him. He's got the Kaiser Chiefs predicting a riot as he walks to the ring. He's unbeaten. He's super confident. So suddenly all of these things are being stacked in Warrington's favour. All of the things that if we looked at it rationally wouldn't be an issue. And that's what promoting is all about. That's what getting home advantage is all about. It's giving the home fighter, in this case an underdog, a fairly significant underdog as well, Lee. Let's get that right. It's not that Selby is just a bit better. If you look at it, he's a lot better. And a really good Selby is a lot better. But Warrington doesn't know how to lose. I know it's an expression I use often. He knows how to win. He knows how, and I think he'll know how to turn the crowd, whether it's 20,000, 25,000 or 30,000, to his favour. Now, Lee Selby's talking very boldly about how the crowd will not affect him. But here's the question I'm going to put to you and everyone listening. How does he know? He's never fought in the backyard of a home fighter with 30,000 people there. That's never happened to Lee Selby. If Lee Selby in his next fight fights Carl Frampton in Belfast in front of 30,000 people, he can say the crowd won't affect me because he's already proved it. He could have proved it, rather, at Ellen Road. Right now, he doesn't know. No one knows. Anthony Joshua, I remember Anthony Joshua telling me earlier this year that you have no idea how you're going to react when you walk out and there's 80,000 or 90,000 there. George Groves says the same thing. Even Carl Froch says the same thing. Different fighters react differently. Lee Selby, not necessarily overwhelmed, but it might make him think a little bit. You never know. It might also give him a bit of a disadvantage once we get to the ring, in the sense that Warrington will be flying. The flip side, the danger side of Warrington flying, is he wears his heart out on his sleeve and lets his heart rule his head, and the tactics don't work because he doesn't use any tactics. He just uses his outrageous desire and ambition. That crowd is a factor, not because it cheers one man and boos one man, but because it changes the way, potentially, both men act once the first bell sounds.
Which way? Yeah, it's interesting listening to Josh Warrington on your podcast earlier in the week, but to the BBC one, where he said he'll use it in the early stages, and you know it'll just be, you know, he'll keep it calm, but he'll use the crowd when he needs to use the crowd. As you're saying there, when he needs that boost, it'll be there for him. But he knows how to control it, because anyone who's seen pictures or been to one of the events at the Leeds Arena, which obviously is a fraction of the crowd here, you know, it's crazy in there. So he's been through this many times, hasn't he? It's just not open air and not in a stadium, but he's been through it so many times.
And not of this size, and not of a world title at stake.
No.
And not in a fight where there's genuine animosity between the two fighters. So you know, those three are quite hefty asterisks attached to the concept or the idea, the notion that he's been there and done it before. And in an ideal world, that's what happens. In an ideal world, it's competitive after six rounds, and he gets up for round seven, looks out to the crowd, raises his fists in the air, and they lift him home during the last six. That's in an ideal world. But boxing is full of surprises, twists and turns. And neither of these two is that much better than the other. That gives me the suggestion that they will dominate it and have fun and be able to relax. No, it's a hard, hard, grueling fight. Josh Warrington makes fighters work. Lee Selby doesn't really like having to work really hard. So, and that's what I think makes it so intriguing, is can Lee Selby actually win on points? Does he throw enough punches to win on points? Will he have to hurt and get Warrington's respect? And if that's the case, then could he get a stoppage? Can he possibly get a stoppage? Warrington, you know, doesn't have a suspect chin and he's got good stamina, and perhaps Selby doesn't punch hard enough. So it gets back to the start of the conversation. Can Selby throw enough punches to win? We know Warrington can throw enough punches, if not to win, but to make every round competitive. Listen, Selby's the favourite, and I think rightly so. But unless he hits and drops Warrington, then every round's competitive, and that makes it hard. I mean, I see controversy. I see people moaning and screaming.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't be a big surprise, would you, if it is close, Bunce, or even if it's maybe not that close to the neutral, but it's close, you know, it's close to the baying crowds there. There would be some controversy. What are you going for then, Bunce?
I'm going for Selby, and I actually think Selby could win on points. I'm just, unless Josh gets it all wrong and his tank empties and Selby pours it on in the last three or four rounds, which I think, you know, is a good suggestion. I'm just fancying Selby on points.
Selby on points is 4-6. There'll be loads of offers on the fight on the night, of course. Check out williamhill.com or the app. I've sprung this last one on you, Buncey, but just a quick word on Adonis Stevenson against Badou Jack on Saturday as well in the early hours. It's for the WBC World Light Heavyweight title. in Toronto. Again, it's a, you know, from a betting point of view, 4-5 Stevenson, even money Badu Jack, who's been compiling quite a list of opponents over the last few years, hasn't he, Badu Jack? Who wins this one? It looks an absolute belter.
Well, I've gone against Badu Jack just about every time we ever talked about him. I'm not this time. I'm going Badu Jack. I think he might get to Stevenson. I think he might stop him, but I'm definitely going Badu Jack.
Bunty, thanks very much for your time. Look forward to hearing your assessment of the fight at the weekend. And I know I always bang on about your BBC podcast, but can I just, I'm sure most people think this, but the fact that you guys record one after the fight and you can wake up on Sunday morning and listen to it is one of the most joyous things in my life. So once again, thank you to you and Mick Costello for doing that. Oh, it's so good. It's so good waking up the next morning and being there. It's brilliant.
Thanks, Lee.
Cheers, Bunty. Speak to you soon.
Lee, speak to you later, mate.
Thanks,
cheers,
mate.
Boy.
Cheers, bye. Yeah, check out the podcast, our podcast, that is, not the BBC one. I'm sure they've got enough fans as it is. On Audio Boom, or you can subscribe on iTunes. Check out all the boxing prices and enhanced odds at williamhill.com and on the app. Back soon for the latest big fights with Bunty.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.